welcome to our Wednesday night service. I'd like to welcome you, those that are here, but also those that are listening by way of the internet. I thank you for tuning in. We do value you taking the time to worship with us and to look into God's Word together. I trust that tonight's message is going to be a blessing to you and a help and an encouragement to you. I hope you're in the right way tonight, and that's kind of what we're going to be speaking about. And there's two ways. There always has been. There's a broad way and a narrow way. There's the way of the righteous, and then there's the way of the ungodly. And we want to be right, that's for sure. And I want to hear the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And you won't hear that if you're on the wrong way. And may the Lord help us tonight as we look into His Word. If you'd like to find your place in Psalms chapter 32, Psalms chapter 32, and we're going to look at this word blessed. And how do you get to Psalms 32 to be that blessed person? And then we're going to look at Psalms 1 tonight. And there we're going to see the word blessed again and what that represents, what that blessed means. And compare it to Psalms 32, and then we're also going to be in Psalms 51. So if you'd like to go ahead and find all three of those places, that'll be fine. It'll just help you follow along faster. And just pray for the Lord to help us tonight. Psalms chapter 32, we're going to begin reading there. And it says in verse 1, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and whose spirit there is no guile." Over the past few Wednesday nights, we've been looking over Psalms chapter 30 and Psalms chapter 31, which I believe culminate right here in Psalms chapter 32. And up until now, if you'll go back and think about Psalms 30, Psalms 31, and all the things that we saw there, David's mentioned many struggles. He's mentioned many blessings. He's mentioned many promises and deliverances, but none of those things compare to the blessing of salvation. You can't even compare these things to that. And I'm talking about the greatest blessing that you will ever have on earth. I remember holding our children when they were born. And as they were born and they handed the child to me and I was able to hold them. And I'm telling you, that was a pretty special feeling there. But it can't even begin to compare to the gift of salvation. It cannot even begin to compare of the day that I was born again. I think we could all say that God is good. And because He is good, then He's good to us. We could take hours tonight and just go one by one right here and just let everyone just talk about the goodness of God and all the things that God has done for them in this life. And we could testify that goodness, but none of those things compare to the blessing of salvation. I mean, I'm thankful for a vehicle. I'm thankful for health. I'm thankful, and you know, this is the thankful month. This is Thanksgiving month, and it'll be here before you know it, just like the rest of the year's flown by. Then this month's gonna fly by as well, and we ought to be thankful every day of the year, not just in November, not just on Thanksgiving for one day. But you know what? All the goodness of God, if you compare that to salvation, I mean, having good health is wonderful. It's a blessing. But what if you don't have good health? If you're saved, that is the greatest blessing that you can have tonight. Knowing that you're forgiven. Knowing that God knows your name and your name's been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Knowing that you're eternally secure in Christ Jesus. No matter what happens here on this earth, you're eternally secure in Christ. If you look at the inscription above Psalms 32, it says, "A Psalm of David, Maskil." That Maskil means this is a psalm of instruction. It's a psalm that's going to be used to teach. And there's some valuable truths, Lord willing, we'll look into these truths that are recording in this psalm. But Paul even makes reference to this psalm. In Romans chapter 4 and verse 6, it said, "Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. This psalm would seem to follow Psalms chapter 51. Remember, not all the psalms are written in chronological order, but they're placed in the order God would have them to be. But this Psalms 32 was written after Psalms 51, and Psalms 51 is a psalm of repentance. Psalms 32 is a psalm that we learn about the peace of God that comes from being forgiven. You see, sin will bring you down, but forgiveness will bring you up. Let's turn over to Psalms 51. A few pages over, Psalms chapter 51, and here you're going to find that inscription here. And it says, to the chief musician, a psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet came unto him after he had gone into Bathsheba. Here, this psalm, we know when it was written. It was after that David had sinned, and here we see the repentant child of God. And it says in verse 1, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. I want you to underline verse 13. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Do you remember the inscription above Psalms chapter 32? Psalm of David, Maskil. That means instruction or for teaching. We see here that David kept his word. In verse 13, then will I teach transgressors thy ways. And it begins with the forgiveness of sins. It begins with salvation, if you would, for the child of God. And I tell you, our spiritual life, I tell you, it's good the day you get saved. I tell you, it begins there. Our Christian life begins when we call on the name of the Lord to be saved. And there's nothing like it. There's nothing like knowing that your sins are forgiven. And David is going to teach this. Look at verse 14. He says, deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are of a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar. You see, Psalms 51 is a prelude to Psalms 32. That blessed person there, that blessed person that David's talking about is that person whose sins are forgiven. There in Psalms 32 is talking about the blessedness of knowing that your sins are forgiven. Turn to Psalms chapter 1. Psalms chapter 1. Psalms chapter 32 was written as a response to being forgiven. It was a David doing what he said he would do. Lord, if you'll forgive me, I'll teach sinners in the way. I'll teach transgressors about your forgiveness, about your love, about your mercy, about salvation. I'll teach them about that. Remember Psalms 32:1 says, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. To be forgiven is to be blessed. Just like the Sermon on the Mount, Psalms 32 and Psalms 1 here is going to begin with Beatitudes. The blessed. The blessed. Who are those people that are truly blessed? The blessed here in Psalms 1 describes the results of being blessed. While Psalms 32 details the cause of blessedness. We're blessed because our sins are forgiven. And now in Psalms 1, we're going to see the results of being blessed. What ought to happen to the Christian, to the one who calls on the name of the Lord to be saved? He's going to be blessed because his sins are gone, his sins are forgiven, but then in order to be blessed in your Christian walk, totally different from salvation now, then there's certain things we're going to have to do. Here in verse 1 of Psalm 1 it says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. In verse 1 through 3, we see the results of having your sins forgiven and following the Lord. That's the result of having your sins forgiven. That makes you blessed. But here in Psalms 1, we see that you're blessed for following the Lord after that you're saved, okay? Verse 4 says, the ungodly are not so. You see, there's no blessedness there mentioned in verse 4 and verse 5. Because I'm forgiven, because my sins are gone, because God saved me, then God sets me on a different path than the ungodly. In verse 6, it says, the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. What does that mean? That means that God has a predetermined course that all believers must follow. He knows the way of the righteous. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. God expects His children, those whose sins have been forgiven, to conduct themselves according to His Word. There's no option here. There's no whether, oh, well, I can just do whatever. No, God has an expectation for all those who are blessed because of the forgiveness of sins. God wants you to walk in a blessed way as well. And you see, His Word is the same for everybody. We're not on some separate path. I hear Christians say, well, you got your path and I got mine. No, there's only one way of the righteous. There's only one narrow way. The Bible says that we're to keep His commandments, and anything off of the way of the righteous is the way of the ungodly. There's no middle ground or gray area where the child of God can wander into and still think that he can have the blessings of God upon his life. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. Here we see the way of the ungodly here, 1 through 3. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Before I called on the name of the Lord to be saved, that's where I was. I was dead in my trespasses and sins. Wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." You see, in verse 1 and 3 of Ephesians chapter 2, we see the way of the ungodly. Prior to being saved, we were all on that way, and that's why God expects us to accomplish His will and to keep His commandments once we are saved. There's going to be a difference once you get saved. You can't just keep going in that same old path that God found you in. Verse 4 through 10 describes the way of the righteous. That way that begins with salvation. God puts you on a different path. Look at verse 4. "But God, who is rich in His mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And underline verse 10 here. "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." You see, Psalms chapter 1 describes the results of being blessed. Your sins are forgiven. Well, right here's the result. Right here's what's to ensue after that. It sets you on a different course than the ungodly. Yes, I'm blessed because my sins are forgiven. I'm blessed because of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. I'm blessed because I called on the name of the Lord and I've been born again. But because I'm saved, then I'm not going to do the things that I used to do. God has put me in the way of the righteous. And if I want God's blessings on my life, then I have to walk in the path that God has before ordained. You see, trying to walk in a gray area or straddling the fence between the way of the righteous and the way of the ungodly, can I just tell you, that's going to be really, really difficult to do. It's like trying to straddle a fence and walk. It makes no sense to do that. You're just going to hurt yourself and you're not going to go anywhere very fast. This is where many Christians find themselves. They've excused their direction because of man-made traditions or because of family or friends or associations, and they have no idea that God has removed His hand of blessing on their life. Oh, they're going on. They're living. You know, they're living their life. They're reaping the benefits of what they've sown. But the rewards in heaven are no longer being stacked up for them. They may have started off with gold and silver and precious stones, but now they've resorted to wood, hay, and stubble that's going to be burnt up in that day. Many Christians will straddle the fence because their love for Jesus has cooled off. They're seeking their family's approval over God's blessings. Being in the way of the righteous is not easy, because anyone that's not in that path is walking in the path of the ungodly. And that's not easy, because it could be a spouse. It could be a child. It could be a mom, or it could be a dad. It could be a family member. And we love these people, but there has to be a choice made when it comes to walking in the way of the righteous. Are we going to walk with the Lord and in His way? Or are we going to follow someone else? Let's go back to Psalms chapter 1. Psalms chapter 1. Let's go back there. Psalms chapter 1. All the blessings that come to the believer in verses 1 through 3 only come if we stay in the path of the righteous. The blessedness here that's mentioned in Psalms 32 is that of being saved and having our sins forgiven. And that's non-reversible. Thank God for that. That blessing right there is forever. The blessedness in Psalms 1 is that of staying on the path of the righteous, and that only comes after the blessing of Psalms 32. If we fail in the blessing of Psalms 1 of walking in the way of the righteous, then we forfeit the results that we see in this chapter. If we limit God, if we fail to keep ourselves clean, if we fail to make ourselves available for God to bless us and use us in a greater way, then we fail to be that tree of blessing that's mentioned here in Psalms chapter 1. This tree that's mentioned in Psalms 1 doesn't just benefit itself. This tree offers shade and fruit that will benefit others who are on the same path as us. When others go astray, when our children or our spouse or family members or friends go in a different way than us, it's not going to help them if we veer off the way too. Why is that? Because we're going to lose the blessed result of walking in the way of the righteous, and not just us, but so will they. If we veer off, then they'll never see the need to get back on the right path. They will never reap the blessings that come from that tree that was planted by the rivers of water. There is no blessedness on the path of the ungodly. And this is where that contemporary, carnal, worldly mindset of you have to join them in order to reach them gets blown right out of the water. Why? Because it's anti-God. It's anti-Bible. It's anti-God's way. And it's in the wrong path. They say this, well, let's get a version of the Bible that's a little more modern, more up to date, you know, easier to read. Let's use a little bit more of the world's music. Let's lower our God-given standards. Let's step out of the right way onto the narrow way. And let's get over on that broad way that leadeth to destruction so that, you know, we can just fit in with the world a little bit better so they'll accept us better. No, if we're going to make a difference, we'd better stick with God's Word. We'd better stick with God's law. Look at verse 2. But His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law does He meditate day and night. In verse 1 of Psalms chapter 1, we see that the blessed are separate from the ungodly. Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. The blessing of salvation will result in a separation. It's either the way of the righteous, which God has already before ordained, or the way of the ungodly that will perish. The blessed are separated. Verse 2 tells us that the blessed are sanctified through God's Word. Look at verse 2. But His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth He meditate day and night. The blessing of salvation will result in sanctification. The more we meditate in God's Word, then the more we will look and act like Christ. It'll keep us from sin. Psalms 119:11 says, Thy Word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against Thee. In verse 3, we see that the blessed are steadfast and they're fruitful. Planted by the rivers of water, receiving a steady source of nourishment and blessed to provide shelter and fruit to others who are in the same way. In 1 Corinthians 15:58 it says, Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. When does our labor become vain? When it's not in the Lord. When it's in the wrong way. That's when our labor will become vain. But long as we stay in God's Word and we're walking according to His commandments, then our labor is not in vain. There's going to be a result that will come. We cannot afford to veer off the path of the righteous. Not just for our sake, but for the sake of others as well. It is good to be saved. Yes, it is. The day you called on the Lord to save you, you joined that group of blessed over there in Psalms chapter 32. If you've never been blessed, if you've never been saved, then I urge you to be blessed tonight and know the forgiveness of sin that only Jesus can give you. In Acts 4:12 it says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." There's only one way to join the way of the righteous, and it's by faith in the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ for your justification. Are you part of the blessed that are mentioned in Psalms 32? If you are, then let me ask you this. Are you also part of the blessed mentioned in Psalms chapter 1? Are you in the way of the righteous? Or have you veered off that path? Are you being sanctified and renewed daily by God's Word? Are you planted by the rivers of water? Are you bringing forth much fruit? I'm not asking you if you're surviving. Are you bringing forth much fruit? Maybe it'd be a good time for you to evaluate what way you are in. You can't walk straddling the fence. You ain't going to get nowhere. You ain't going to amount to nothing. The reward is far greater in the way of the righteous than it is in the way of the ungodly.